What an honor it was to be on your podcast today. I just want to say happy 100th episode. That is a great accomplishment. Congratulations.
Did you know that this is episode 100? What? Did you say episode 100? Yes, episode 100. Oh my goodness, it's episode 100. Arr, mighty, hippie episode 100. Oh, hey. Oh, we got a great one today. Yay, we're at episode 100. 100, 100, 100, 100. Yay, 100. I got an awesome guest today. Her name is Casey Bell from ShakeUpLearning.com. She's a consultant, speaker, blogger, and author of several ebooks, including The Teacher's Guide to Google Classroom. She has a passion for technology and learning. She's won numerous awards, and today we're going to talk Google Classroom and several cool Google tools. Thanks for being here on this very special day. Hey, did you know that we're now available on Google Play Music? Check us out there. Teaching, learning, leading K-12.
They're not here for us. We're here for them. That's what it's about. Kids.
Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is all about assisting classroom teachers and school administrators to overcome the many walls or barriers that kids face. Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is focused on helping you help kids achieve their dreams. As a note, I hope that you will stop by Stitcher or iTunes and leave me a star rating and a comment. That helps the show get noticed by more people. Thanks for listening and joining me week after week.
Welcome to the Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 podcast, bringing you ideas and resources for K-12 classrooms, schools, and school districts. Hosted by Steve Mileto. And now, here's Steve with this week's show.
Casey Bell has a passion for technology and learning. She is an award-winning digital learning consultant, speaker, blogger, and author of the ebooks The Teacher's Guide to Google Classroom and The Student's Quick Guide to Google Classroom, as well as the Google Cheat Sheets. Casey is a Google-certified innovator and Google-certified trainer. Additionally, Casey has led a variety of digital learning workshops, including presentations at ISTE, FETC, TCEA, Google Summits, and iPad Palooza. She received a Digital Innovation in Learning Award given by EdSurge and Digital Promise in the Sharing is Caring category, and she was recognized as a top 10 EdTech and e-learning influencer for her work sharing educational resources on her blog and across social media. Casey is also an Amazon Education Thought Leader and was a finalist for the 2015 Instructional Technology Specialist of the Year given by TCEA. Casey is a co-leader of the North Texas Google Educator Group. Casey's website and blog, ShakeUpLearning.com, provide teachers and educators with digital learning resources, tech tips and tricks, and classroom technology integration ideas. ShakeUp Learning was recognized as a must-read EdTech blog for 2014 and 2015, and a 2014 and 2015 EduBlog Awards finalist for Best EdTech Resource Blog. That is so awesome. Say hi to everyone, Casey.
Hey, everyone. I'm Casey. Nice to be on the podcast today.
Well, glad to have you here. And first, let me say that, it was kind of cool because I found out about you because a teacher in my area was following me, and the superintendent, she shared it with her superintendent, and he said, I think I know who needs who needs to look at this blog, and he shared it with me, and since then I've been a raving fan of yours. This is, you got an awesome blog, and it's just great resources there, and it's just wonderful, very usable, and very user-friendly. And so we're going to start with a few other questions first, but then eventually we're going to get into your ebook and your specifically also about using Google Slides. So let's take a look at this. Kind of what I want to know is not kind of what I really want to know is kind of what drove you towards technology, because like with me, I love technology, and I was in elementary school in Florida during the heyday of the Apollo missions with NASA, and then had a love for the space shuttle program. I watched reruns of Star Trek, Lost in Space, saw the Star Wars movies before cosplaying was a thing, and got a heavy dose of what if technology from comic books and The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, and so many other things, and of course, one of my favorite all-time songs by Styx, Come Sail Away. You know, got these people coming from space, something like that, you know. But my interest in technology grew, and what about you? Is there anything that inspired you to pursue tech as what you teach others?
Well, I don't think it was Styx, but I grew up in a family of entrepreneurs, and my parents owned an electronics business. And so I grew up around technology and learning how to use it. And, you know, even though I was privileged enough to have early access to things, my father would always make me put it together. I had to be the one to figure it out, you know. So if I got a new stereo, it was in the box, go for it. You know, I had to figure out everything. And so, and the same thing when I got my first computer, you know, he just basically handed me the box and said, go figure it out. And I've always had an affinity for technology, and I love to learn new things, especially when it comes to technology and gadgets and things like that. So I do give a lot of credit to my parents, to, you know, how they raised me and introducing me to things early on and letting me learn hands-on. I am also, you speaking of the Apollo missions, I was a space camp kid.
Nice.
So I too was pretty enamored with the entire NASA program and had an affinity for science and just all kinds of things like that. So when I went into teaching, it really just kind of came natural to start integrating technology, which at the time was not necessarily something that everyone else was embracing so willingly. So I just saw an opportunity to kind of make that my niche, and it has worked out well.
Excellent. Excellent. That's awesome. It's cool that impact that NASA and that's cool about Space Camp had on you. Now, you didn't accidentally get launched into space or anything like that, did you?
No. It was not at all like the movie, I promise you.
Rats. I was so hoping that's exactly how it was. So let's dive right into some of the stuff that you talk about, and some of what you focus on are the Google apps, and or some, I think a lot. And so what is it that you really, really, really like about Google apps?
You know, Google makes my life easier, and I am all for anything that makes a teacher's life easier inside and outside of the classroom. So huge time savers. And it's supporting all of those 21st century skills that we keep hearing about and talking about, and it actually makes it a reality. So when you want to talk about collaborating in the classroom, my mind naturally goes to one of the Google tools. When you want to figure out how to do things, I'm right. Okay, who's starting the Google Doc? You know, it's an automatic for me. I operate almost entirely in the cloud now, and you know, going Google, I think, was just one of the best decisions I ever made.
That's excellent. That's I like that, going Google. That's we've made the shift where I am to when I came on board here, my tech guy came to me and he said, you know, I got this idea. What do you think about us shifting to all Google world? And I'm like, I can go with that. That's awesome. So we're already there. But now comes at the end of this year comes the hard line where office support will go away, and we'll just be using the Google app. So,
gasp.
Yeah, exactly. Oh no! And you know,
my eyes roll in the back of my head every time someone sends me a giant PowerPoint file. That's just so antiquated to me now. So, I really prefer to avoid Office at this point. But even you know, in my job, we're still hanging on to some of that too. So.
It's very nice. You know, it's one of those things when you say that to some people, they go, really? You know, I got to have my word, man.
Yeah, it's like a safety blanket, a security blanket.
Most definitely. Well, let's go from there and let's take a look at your blog post. This is, I love this blog post. It was how to create an ebook with Google Slides. And I love the way you write and explain, and it's easy to follow. And it's not just that blog post. It's all your blog posts. The way I'm right now, I'm just really following back all into, you know, going back into all your stuff that you got there. And it's you use pictures and you just really connect the dots, and so you make it user friendly. And so what I'd like you to do is let's talk about that article. And first, I think we need to kind of talk a little bit about Google Slides, and then let's kind of go into that idea about making ebooks with them.
Okay, and thank you very much for the compliment. I appreciate it. So when I started creating some of these ebooks, at first I was trying to use Google Docs, and Google Docs was not quite doing it for me. If you've ever tried to manipulate very many images inside Google Docs, you're going to run into issues. There's some workarounds with drawings and things like that, but it really was tough. I created all of the Google cheat sheets in Google Docs, so I definitely found a way to make it work. But I realized that creating things like ebooks was so much easier to do in Google Slides. And in fact, I love using Google Slides for so many other things besides presentations. There's just a lot of flexibility there. And so when I realized, you know, that I could go into the page setup and change it to 8.5 by 11 and make it the same size as a piece of paper and make it something printable, that this was gonna be a much better solution, because you can layer images and text and all of those things in Google Slides, that kind of functionality that you don't have in Docs. And then with the ability to export it as a PDF, which is the most universally accepted file format in the world, that's going to be user-friendly, and that's going to be a way that I can share content with other teachers. So then, I created a couple of things. I created the Teacher's Guide to Google Classroom, and I did that all in Google Slides. And then I got a lot of questions about it. I was like, you know what? I just need to post. I need to show everybody how easy this is, because we need to get kids creating, and this is the perfect solution to get kids to create their own ebooks inside Google Slides. So, it's not a tremendously long post, but once you figure out, that you can make any kind of size that you want, and that you can convert it to PDF and to other file formats as well, you're kind of limitless in what you can do with it.
And that's what I love. You know, what you just said just a second ago, it's that this is kind of scary for some classroom teachers, the idea of doing something like this. They may have these ideas about, you know, what I could get the kids publishing and stuff like this, but, you know, because I hate to say it, but we have some peers out there in our world who have published large volumes of things that make it seem a little more daunting than what it is. And that's what I love about the article that you wrote. It really makes it so that you go, hey, I think I can do this.
Absolutely. Yeah. Anybody can do this. If you've ever used PowerPoint, you can do this. I mean, the same principles. There's all of the content on Teachers Pay Teachers that, you know, everybody gets all excited about. Almost all of that's created in PowerPoint and in tools like Google Slides. So why not? You know, I'm definitely a fan of putting it on Google Slides. The other thing that's been interesting, since I created this, Google Docs now allows you to export as an EPUB format.
Yes.
So that came around after, but I kind of feel like that was a little too late. That EPUB formats, while that's compatible in some places, I still feel like PDF is more universal. I was even able to convert my PDF into a Kindle format and right. upload that onto Amazon. So I didn't really have any constraints. So I really, you know, like people were asking me if I was going to start using the EPUB format, but I think Slides is still so much easier, especially when you're doing something that has so many screenshots. That was really what was difficult in trying to manipulate all those screenshots inside Docs. So Slides made more sense.
That's excellent. That's awesome to know right there what you're talking about. Because I got in there and was messing with that, and I'm looking at the self-publishing world for a whole bunch of different reasons. And as a result of what you talked about, I've actually, you know, kind of really switching my world into the Google Slides, which is funny. I hadn't thought about it until I read your article. I'm like, well, I'm doing everything else over there. Why not try this? So, but that's awesome that they've made those adjustments, because you're right. It is a lot easier to maneuver images and so forth in there. It's designed with this digital world in mind, I guess, is what it really seems like.
Yeah, I really like it. You know, we don't really have any templates for ebooks in Slides just yet, but I definitely think that's a possibility down the road.
Very cool. Have you had any feedback from teachers who've worked with kids with that, using making ebooks with the Google Slides?
Well, I had a lot of feedback just from the article itself, and lots of teachers who were like, I'm doing this tomorrow.
Nice.
You know, that it seemed easy enough. And that's what I love. That's the kind of stuff I love to share. I want teachers to be able to, you know, take 5 minutes to read something and it be something that they can practically use in the classroom the next day, you know, because this is not that difficult. I have not yet seen any of the published work that I can remember, but I've also used Google Slides for some interactive types of activities and created some templates for magnetic poetry.
Oh.
I don't know if you've seen that, but I get a lot of requests because I did the first one around National Poetry Month last year, and it was just a general little template. I did that one in drawings, and then I decided I was going to do it in slides, and I collaborated with Shannon Miller on the Winter Around the World project, and so we created a winter version, and I have seen that used a lot. I created a template for that, and so I think that is sort of my next step, is to even take this a step further and create some templates that teachers can use that are ready to go and that they can share with their students and make this an even easier project.
Well, I think that's an excellent idea, because like you said earlier, if you can make it that much simpler for a classroom teacher to not have to develop that part of it and to just take that, so then they can work with the kids and helping them make the books for whatever the activity is that they're doing. That's awesome. Well, let me segue from there into, because just recently you had another article that was about how to make your Google presentation shine. And so now we're back in slides. And I love this because I've completely switched to Google Slides from PowerPoint. I no longer use it. PowerPoint's so awkward and cumbersome. And with Google Slides, Google Presentations, one of the things that I love about it is that I don't have to, you know, I can carry it with me. Wherever I go, it's there as long as I got internet connection. And the ability to link to YouTube or link to this or link to that is so amazing that way. I just was wondering, why would you encourage someone to switch to the slides?
Well, I think you hit on a big piece of it right there, is it's 24/7 access from any device. And you really cannot get close to that with other programs, not with the flexibility that you have in Google Slides. So I can move seamlessly from working on my desktop to my laptop, to my iPad, to my Android tablet, whatever I'm using, I can keep working. And so even as I was working on the Teacher's Guide to Google Classroom, you know, which everything always takes a lot longer than you think it's going to take. So, you know, I would work when I could and where I could. I was traveling a lot. So, you know, if I was on a plane, I could be working in Google Slides. In fact, I was working in Google Slides offline sometimes too. Nice. And a lot of people don't know about that feature. So even without internet connectivity, I can keep working. And you just can't say that about a lot of other programs. And then add in the fact that it's collaborative.
Right.
I mean, that's just makes it a super powerful tool.
Awesome right there. That's just, it is, like you said, it's an incredibly powerful tool. Let's go ahead and let's go to your ebooks for a minute. What I'd like to do is, you've created a couple of ebooks, and one of which is the Teacher's Guide to Google Classroom. Why create the book, and what would you hope the readers would learn from this very valuable resource you have?
Well, you know, Google Classroom sort of started as a pilot, and only had access by a few teachers there. And then when they rolled it out, was that the 2015 early school year, it was a little bit late for everybody to jump on board. And so, you know, even now, some schools are still kind of hesitant to flip that switch and to turn on Google Classroom. But they made huge changes and improvements based on feedback from teachers to the classroom platform. And I work, and I think in a similar role as you do, I work at a regional level for the state of Texas, and I work with school districts all over the state and beyond. But Google Classroom is designed to be a safe little walled garden within your school district. And so I wasn't able to use it with teachers as much as I wanted to because of that sort of wall that was there. So I didn't want to start sharing resources until I really had hands-on experience as a teacher using it. And so once the whitelisting came around and I was able to start really using this as a professional development platform with the districts that I work with, that's when I really was able to dig in and to learn. And I just wanted to create what I thought was going to be a cheat sheet, by the way, for teachers to learn how to use Google Classroom. I was like, I've got to make a cheat sheet. You know, everybody loves the cheat sheets. So that's how it started. And then the more I dug in, the more I realized this really was a manual that nice. I was writing. And, you know, I just wanted it to be step by step to help a teacher from who had never seen it before to be able to use it, and then developing the student guide along with it, which actually I had thought a little bit about, and then my buddy Kyle Pace got an early view of this, and he's like, you really should make a student guide. And so I decided to put that together because, you know, we assume students know how to do everything already, and that's not necessarily true when it comes to technology, and especially not doing it in the way that the teacher wants. So being able to give the students the steps that the teacher wants them to complete in order to log in, to turn in assignments and all of that. So I wanted to make it printable. I realized that sometimes we just don't have enough devices around to keep directions open for students at all times. So the student guide was only about 15 pages, and you don't even have to print all of it, but it's just there to help get the students acquainted with Google Classroom. And then the teacher's guide is obviously just walking them through like every piece. And this, when you first look at Google Classroom, I think it's deceivingly looks simple. You know what? Yes. You know, when you look at it, you're like, oh, well, there's nothing to it. You know, and that's kind of how I felt when I looked at it the first time. I was like, oh, okay, create an assignment, do this. All right. And then all the questions started, well, how do you grade these assignments? And where does all this information go? And how do you differentiate? And how do you do these things? So it just sort of started growing from there. And I just wanted to create a resource that could make this doable for teachers. And like I said, it started out as a cheat sheet, but it definitely, I think I ended up being 46 pages. So,
well, it's very usable. Like I've said before, it's very usable, and it makes it user friendly because there are things that it's nice when someone who can teach someone else how to use something writes something about it, because a lot of times the people who create it makes sense to them, but when you're a user and you're not in their brain, you sit down and you go, okay. And you know, an example of that would be, I have, without taking us there right now, you've written another article, which I love. It's about how to find anything in Google Drive. And Google Drive, I love it, but I have a problem with it. Sometimes it decides to put folders. I mean, you got to be careful. the great thing is, you put it somewhere, you'll be able to find it. But you got to understand how they were thinking and when they did this, and because it kind of shifts folders around and stuff, and the order of them in the drive, that drives me nuts. Until I realized, hey, I can make them alphabetical. All right, and I didn't realize in my slow brain, I didn't realize that it was the one you most recently used or whatever, you know, whatever their thought process was there. I'm like, hey, it's not over here in the same spot. Where is it?
Yeah, it's hard, you know, and I appreciate all the feedback that I get on the blog and on social media and even in like face-to-face trainings, because there's things I forget that I take for granted that I do this every day and I don't remember, you know, what I struggled with when I first started using it. And so all of those things come out, and when a lot of my blog posts come out of questions that I get from teachers, you know, I have a lot of teachers who struggled with how to use the comments in Google Classroom, because there's private comments and there's class comments and now there's discussion. And I had teachers who were posting in all three places, and I realized this has to be so confusing. So I was like, I've got to write a post about it. I've got to put something out there to help make this more clear for the classroom teacher.
You've done an excellent job of it, because it does make it clear, and that's what it makes it very usable. I've been sharing all those articles with all kinds of colleagues as well as through my social media. And it's just, I'm getting great comments back from them as well. And so just, I'm a cheerleader. Keep going.
Oh, thank you so much.
What I'd like to do is, real quick, as we're kind of getting close towards the end, one of the things I wanted to do is make sure that they know that, because we've been talking about these things, when they follow your website, and I encourage everybody to do this, this is going to be a great website to follow. They get some goodies. And so do you want to talk about those?
Sure. I have the Google Cheat Sheets ebook that is the opt-in when you subscribe to Shake Up Learning. So that's one, again, another PDF ebook of Google Cheat Sheets for Chrome, Drive, Docs, Sheets, Slides, Forms, Drive for iOS, and I can't remember if I'm remembering them all. There are eight different cheat sheets in there. So, and that's all, you know, emailed to you once you subscribe to Shake Up Learning. I'm actually working on something new, a little secretive, a little firsthand information, but I am developing some special resources to help other educators get Google certified.
Nice.
So I will be launching an e-course in May to help other teachers become Google certified trainers.
Excellent. What a great resource. Well, that's cool. And all that stuff they have access to just simply by signing up, right?
Yes. Yes. So once you sign up, you'll get emails with the latest blog posts and any new resources that I create. And of course, you'll get that ebook, but you'll find out about everything much faster than the rest of the world if you sign up on the email list.
Excellent. And so one of the things I want to ask is that how can the audience follow up with you? So if someone wanted to talk with you about speaking or your consultant work, what would you suggest would be the best way for them to contact you for those to be able to do that?
I have several different ways you can contact me through my website. You can email me through the site. There is a contact me page with a Google form on there. You can also submit a PD request. So if you want me to come out and do some professional learning, there's a form on the site for that. I also you can email me Casey@shakeuplearning.com and Twitter. I'm Shake Up Learning on Twitter, Google Plus, Facebook, pretty much everywhere. And I try to respond as quickly as I can to all of those requests.
Excellent. And I'll put links and I'll put those email addresses and all that in my show notes as well. So excellent. So what I'd like to do now is I'd like to ask you a couple of questions, and this has to do more with the practice of teaching. So if you were given the chance to talk with 100 brand new teachers who haven't started teaching yet, what advice would you give them?
You know, that's a tough group. And you don't know what they're walking in with. You don't know what kind of program they have gone through. I know if it was the younger me sitting there, I would say forget everything you think you know about teaching.
Nice.
But I wouldn't say that to everyone. I know there are great programs out there, but I think one of the biggest tips that I have learned along the way is to not be afraid to let your students teach you. You know, I think at first when I was in my first year of teaching, I felt like I was expected to be the knowledge keeper, and that has shifted. And especially when it comes to integrating technology, you know, my students teach me things all the time. I have a post on the top 10 tech tips for teachers, and that would definitely be something I would share with new teachers. But I think that just being open to trying new things, and the fact that we've got to embrace change every step of the way, no matter where you are in your teaching career, you have to do that. And teaching itself is changing, but technology is changing everything rapidly. So we really just have to embrace it with open arms.
Excellent. Thank you. And my last question is this: do you have a teacher in your past who made a difference in your life? And if given a chance to say thank you, who would it be and what would you say?
I think the teacher that I really look back on the most was my seventh grade science teacher, Mr. Sanders. And Mr. Sanders was also my sister's teacher and my nephew's teacher and my niece's teacher. He just made learning fun. It was hands-on. He cared so much. You knew if you went to him with anything that he would do whatever it took to do what was best for his students. And I think that that's always the bottom line for a teacher. And I just, you know, I wish that I could say I felt that way about all of my teachers, but I really credit Mr. Sanders with being an excellent role model for me as a middle school student.
Excellent. Thank you. Casey, I can't thank you enough for joining me today. And so I got to ask, you got a podcast coming sometime soon?
Shh, you're not supposed to know about that yet. it is being discussed. Yeah.
All right. You got a great voice for it. I think it'd be awesome. And you got an awesome topic. I think you end up knocking the charts off of it.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining me today. I'm looking forward to keeping up with you and using your suggestions. So thank you, Casey.
My pleasure. I really enjoyed it. And I hope to connect with your listeners online. So I look forward to seeing those comments and listening to the podcast when it goes live.
Thank you. And we're can't wait to read what's coming up next. So thanks, Casey. Have an awesome day today.
You too. Thanks, Steve.
Hey, did you know that we're now available on Google Play Music? That's right. You can now find Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 on Google Play Music. Check us out.
Hello, listeners. We want to remind everyone to check out all of our digital content at teachinglearningleadingk12.com. That's teachinglearningleadingk12.com. You can also find our podcast on iTunes. Just search Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 in the iTunes store. Check back often for updates and new material.
Hang tight, everyone. I'm going to let go of the wall.
You have been listening to Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12. Recorded in Eastman, Georgia, at the heart of Georgia Precinct.